So game two's tonight. Generally, I live under a rock when it comes to sports. I'm not much of a sports expert, but even I know that game two is tonight. And it's hard to miss it when cars and buses have signs that say, "We the North," as they drive by. And the house up the street that usually has a Leafs jersey in the window all winter now has a Raptors jersey. And there's a feeling of expectation that's palpable as you're talking to people or moving around or listening to the news. Everyone is excited, energized, and waiting to see what happens next. Will that promise of game one, that win against the Golden State Warriors, be followed up by a strong game two? What will happen next? So we're waiting to see what happens. And I was thinking about waiting in the context of these scripture readings, because each of them is about a different experience of waiting. I mean, of course, Revelation is perhaps the most obvious, that idea of waiting for something better, some transformation to come. It's a vision of hope in a time of difficulty, of trouble. Apocalyptic language tends to be a bit extreme in how it represents all of this. But it comes from that core idea of things aren't right now. We need to wait and hope for something better. And a lot of the Psalms express a similar idea in different ways, that idea of waiting for justice, waiting for things to be balanced out, recognizing what's wrong in our individual lives, in our collective lives right now, and what needs to be done to make that feel right. And then we have our gospel reading, when once again we're offered an image of Jesus' followers being asked to wait. They've spent some time waiting already. Here they are being asked to wait. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for a while until the next thing happens. The fact that this comes up in all of these stories suggests that there's something fundamental in our faith about waiting. That idea of waiting is important to what our faith looks like. And so if we think about that, we then have to think about, well, what happens when we wait? Are we just sitting around doing nothing, or is something else going on? Which is why I'm talking about the Raptors just a little bit. Not too much, because you probably know more than I do. But that question of what's going on while we're waiting, we're not just sitting around doing nothing, could be illuminated by what's happening right now in the city, or by other instances we think of in our lives when we're waiting, whether it's waiting because we're pregnant, or waiting for test results, or waiting for retirement, or waiting for cottage season to truly start, or waiting for the church renovations to begin, or ambitiously, end. And in each of these instances, and in other instances you can think of in your lives, we have the opportunity to think about what are we doing as we wait? As we wait for these good news, these new possibilities, these things that we hope for, or as we wait for the hard news, the hard times, the difficult transitions, and the letting go. So as we wait, we're not just sitting doing nothing. And we can start with conversation, talking about what's happening. Like the conversations that happen about the Raptors game, about the semifinals with all of those last quarter turnarounds for the raptors. About those possibilities that might be taken advantage of, or those moments that might be lost. Conversation isn't just about sharing information, but about being gathered, waiting as a community, waiting with others. So as we talk about what might happen, we're sharing something together, a sense of excitement and a sense of expectation, and a sense of a shared bond, a shared experience. As we're waiting, we also have the opportunity to think of waiting as a time of orientation, or of turning our attention, of moving our focus towards something that we think matters in some way. It takes up more of our thoughts, more of what we pay attention to. And that's a way of recognizing the importance of whatever it is. Now, in the story we hear about Jesus' disciples, they don't just wait and sit around. They go back to Jerusalem and spend time talking about their experience, going to the temple and praising God. That's that way of refocusing on what matters, saying this is worth our time and attention. And we also think of waiting as a time of preparation. For instance, if you're watching the game tonight, you might have made sure you have some treats to eat. Or if you want to share that experience with others, you might have spent time inviting others to come over or arranged to go somewhere else. I was just reading an article this morning about the number of mini Jurassic Parks appearing around Ontario, or perhaps Canada. I understand there are 36 cities and towns outside of Toronto that have been approved to host official public viewing parties. That's not counting Jurassic Park in Toronto, of course. And I understand that a few places, such as Mississauga, are very proud of the fact that their Jurassic Park is bigger than Toronto's. So it depends how large of a crowd you want to gather with, where you might want to end up tonight. But that's all part of that idea of preparation. How are we spending time thinking about what this will look like, what this moment will look like, and what we're doing to prepare for it? I spent some time with my family yesterday baking muffins to freeze, so they'll be ready after the baby arrives when I don't have time to do things like bake muffins. So this time of waiting, how do we also make it a time of preparation? So we have four words that come out of the scripture that offer us possibilities about how we might wait together, what our faith might suggest about the waiting we experience in our lives, whether it's in our larger communities, in our individual lives, or in the life of this congregation. The first words come from the Gospel according to Luke, and they are remember and remain, both words that the Gospel writer tells us Jesus says, remember what has happened. Remember those past experiences and what has led us to this place. And our remembering is a part of our waiting. And remain. Don't leave this place of waiting and of expectation. Don't give up if it takes a little longer than we think it might. But remain ready for what happens next. In Revelation, we hear repeated again and again the word come. The idea that waiting is not just about staying where we are and expecting something to approach us, but to come ourselves in our waiting, to be present in that moment, to be present in those joys and in those challenges. And we hear that word come as a promise that's shared, as both our movement, our shared movement towards God and towards each other, and the movement of God towards us, a mutual meeting, a mutual approach. The next word doesn't directly come from our scriptures, but I've been thinking about in the context of our readings and our music this morning. Awake. Awake. We sang together, morning has broken. And as we think about waking each day, each moment, waking is a reminder of the new things, the recognition that each day brings new possibilities, that each moment offers new life. And in our waiting, we prepare ourselves to wake, to experience, to receive that. And then the last word is joy. The disciples who've had this experience of Jesus, however we understand that, then return to Jerusalem with joy. And one of the commentators said, this is important because this is after the point where we hear that Jesus is gone. It's after the point where the obvious encounter or moment of joy is past. And yet, joy still persists. They have joy both in what they have experienced, that word remember, that first game, and in what is coming next, not knowing what that will look like, but knowing that together and in God's love, that can be also a time and a moment of joy. So we spend our time as we wait together, whether it's for tonight's game or for the news that we're expecting in our lives, for the life changes we're experiencing, or the new washrooms we're excited to have very soon. We remember and we come, we awake, and together we share joy, knowing that God's joy embraces each of us in every moment and all times. Amen.